Hi, people. This is Just Because, the Human Experience Podcast. I am still Michael Lobo. This is episode 189. Today is May 5th, 2024. This episode was recorded July 30th, 2023. What were we all doing in July? Probably sweating because it was hot. At least in Arizona, it's hot. Oh. Hope you're all doing all right. I'm doing my best to keep up with things because I know when I get stagnant in life and I don't feel like I have a purpose or anything, I get these really bad depressive episodes. So, doing okay. Trying to be okay. Hope you are too. I was joined by my friends Javi and Jaina and my sister-in-law, Jessica. We get into some weirdly deep stuff. Enjoy the episode.
No one can convince me that I'm not allowed to be mad at old people.
Hi.
Hey.
Good morning.
This is Jessica, my sister-in-law, and then Jaina, my friend, who is...
I'm going to show up at some point.
Oh my gosh, Jaina, every time. I think it's every time. It's fine, Jaina. We will just be sad. How are you, Jessica?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm drinking my whiskey. Hold on.
Nice.
I'm okay. No, I'll put this closer.
There we go.
That's what's going to happen. Yay!
Good morning.
It was gonna work at some point. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
You know, it's been a good morning so far.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's been pretty good.
Why so good, Jaina? Why?
Well, first, my husband started a new job, so he had to leave at like 8 this morning, which isn't good for me, but I was like, whatever. So I figured I'm going to get up, and I took our dog, Cappuccino, and my daughter, Penelope, to the dog park because it was actually kind of nice out this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And so we were there for about an hour, and then we haven't had the TV on since we woke up. So that's been nice. And she's just been playing with her toys. Like, she has this Coco Melon sticker color thing. We played with a puzzle. I asked her if she wanted to do tablet time while I was doing this podcast thing, and she was like, no, I'm good. And I was like, okay.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm gonna...
Well, that sounds like a great Sunday. Okay, just chill, relax, you know, Not hectic. That's awesome.
Mommy, I want to say hi to her.
Okay.
Here we go. She's going
to
say hi.
All right. Hold on, Penelope. Mommy has to figure it out. She's got a switch. How do you switch it? Oh, it doesn't matter.
Here. We just all disappear. Hi. Oh, my goodness.
Mommy.
You are putting stickers on, Mommy.
I am putting on stickers.
Put one on her knee.
Oh, there's a bunch.
On the knee.
Don't put any on the dog. Dogs don't like stickers. I found out.
Hey, mommy just likes stickers.
I don't mind the stickers.
You don't mind the stickers?
No.
This is an O.
That's a letter O. Oh my gosh, she's getting so big, Jaina.
Right. Like, I don't know.
Gorgeous.
I don't know when that happened.
It's weird.
Like, I came back from San Diego, and then I was like, did you get taller?
They grow. Jessica, yours is older than mine and Jaina's. I bet that's wild. Like,
It's so wild, only because, you know, Isaac's now 7. And just seeing him becoming his own little person. And wanting to take on so much more responsibilities. Like, mom, I can do that. I can wash the dishes. Like, just those little things. I'm like, it like shocks me that he's growing up so fast and it's gone by so fast. But yet, you know, some days are just so long. It's like, you know, incredible how that happens, where you're like, it's going too fast, but then some days you're like, let's go to bed.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You're like, oh my God, it's only 2 p.m. We have to hang out more.
I'm like, what time is it? What can we do to calm you down?
I know.
Let's figure that out.
So watch another movie. Yes. We usually start with the best and worst part of our week. Jessica, do you want to start us off?
Sure. So just in this, in today's life, I think work would probably always have to be the worst. In my world, but actually I think the worst for me this week is just I need to find more balance for myself. Mm-hmm. So the worst part for me this week is I just felt like I'm not taking care of myself. I'm eating crappy. I'm not sleeping well. I'm staying up too late to, you know, BS on TikTok or whatever I'm watching. Yep. So the worst part is all week I have just been feeling so sluggish and sick. And it's because I'm eating like crap. Mm-hmm. And so that's been the worst part. I think today we're right after this, we're going to go to the store and really buy stuff to like meal prep again. We completely lost sight of that. That's been my worst part so far. Best part is that, you know, in what I do, all of my properties right now are doing the best they can with just life and, you know, succeeding in occupancy and delinquency. I'm a assistant asset director, so I oversee properties. And right now, everyone, I think, usually it's the other way where my worst part is work. But this week, everyone's done pretty good. So,
yeah,
knock on wood that it just continues. And just, you know, taking care of mental health and physical health is so important.
And it really drags down everything else.
It does. It really does.
And then you start drinking and then Javi shows up late. Yeah. It just adds a lot of stress too. Hello, Javi.
Okay, hold on. For one, I wasn't that late, but
compared to others.
Right. There have been times I've showed up like you're like, hey, we started at 11 and I'm like, okay, cool. I'll be there at 12:30.
You have shown up like 40 minutes late.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, but here's the thing. There's a good reason.
No, we're not doing this.
No.
I'm trying to hit a hard hour 15 today.
Totally understandable. It's just as I was on my way to getting my computer, there was this baby.
Nope.
Okay.
I'm out. You're out.
Anyway,
go ahead.
The baby's safe now. That's why I was 4 minutes late. We're here.
It's 8 minutes.
We're about to do this. 8 minutes?
You were 8 minutes. I'm into the other four.
See, because after the baby, on my way back inside, there was this kitten. I named him Geppetto. He's with me now. Not physically, he's elsewhere.
Yeah, is this undisclosed location you are recording at, or
that you're
at?
It's called the White Room.
The White Room.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
If you look around, you'll see why.
I
just guessed because of the white walls, but
is that
hey, Michael? Shit. Why do you have to be difficult?
I let me write down the worst part of my week. Javi, we're doing your favorite question. The best and worst part of your week.
I apologize? Okay. Seriously, though, apologies for showing up late. Am I up?
No, I was gonna have Jaina go, and then you go.
Perfect.
Go, Jaina. Best and worst part.
Like, okay, I guess I don't know if it counts because it was last week that was amazing. I went to San Diego Comic-Con and had some of the most epic experiences in my entire life. Yeah, the entire times as many times as I've gone to San Diego, this is by far one of the times where it was just mind-blowing what happened. Like, it was insane. It was so great. I don't know if I have any worst part. I had to come back to work. That's probably the worst thing this week. I guess when we start getting into the topics that we're going to talk about, I'll go into more detail of the epic things that happened.
Okay.
So far, everything seems to have been pretty good, I think. Yeah. Going back to work was kind of not fun, but...
That's never fun. I don't feel like anyone's ever like, I'm excited to go back.
Yeah.
I'll think of professions where that would happen. Javi, your favorite question, your best or worst?
Worst part was seeing a lost baby. Best part was rescuing said baby.
Wow. No, this is like Sound of Freedom. This is good. I can't. No spoilers. Sorry. Shit. Sorry. I'll put a spoiler warning in the beginning.
How are we all in relation to being okay with people who work at Amazon? Are we?
I'm cool with it.
So because like people working at Amazon is like a hit or miss thing. I'm finding more in discussion. So I'm a manager at Amazon, and I happen to find that we have really good relationship with our employees, and like everyone is very well accommodated. My best day and my worst day of the week are both work related. Best because at my job, when we hit like all of our goals, it's a phenomenal day. Like everyone's just happy. It's a good time. And so we just had some very obtuse goals this week, but given like this swell of heat, as well as rain and things like that, heat and rain and lightning, all of those factors close down our yard. So we don't have access to our trailers. So those are like hard workarounds. And so we had, again, at my warehouse, we had lightning storms. My building is brand new. It's only 3 months old. But when it rained, we found like, oh, this building was built like Swiss cheese. Like there's leaks everywhere. And so some of the worst part was like, I don't have the resources to handle this weather right now. If the power goes out, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it was a very tiresome Wednesday. Wednesday is what's called our shift overlap, meaning the people from the front half of the week and the back half of the week both work that day. All managers called out except for yours truly. So
good job, Javi.
I was just told that like when you have work scheduled, you go to work. So I was like, cool, let's go to work.
That makes sense.
Was such a physically demanding day. But yesterday, or rather this morning for me, I also worked night shifts. So like I got off of work this morning at 6 a.m. And so that's when I found the baby. And okay. So today was a day where it's like, okay, if you're going to check all the things that you have to do, how many did you get done? And it was like, boom, all of them. It was a phenomenal day at work. So not to sound lame, but like it's very easy to miss my goals at work. So when I hit all of them, I'm like, dude, today was a great day. And it was my Friday. Excellent. Very, very spirited, high lifting.
So you got off at 6. Did you sleep?
Yeah, but then again, when babies need help, Michael, I don't know about you, I help.
I wait a few minutes.
You seem like a, well, let's see if it's a cool baby or not kind of guy.
Yeah. Let's see if they don't figure it out in 17 minutes. Right. Then I help. I'm a teacher. Well, thanks
growth
for being
mindset.
Growth mindset. It's scaffolding. You have to help them. Worst would be being tired and then becoming irritable and then becoming angry and then becoming sad because I'm angry. So I'm snapping at people. Luckily Serena hasn't thrown any chanclas or knives at me.
So you guys are back together.
Yeah, we're back together. The divorce is not happening. Thank you, Javi, for helping us out with that. And Arby's, our sponsor. But it's
gross.
So it's, who said gross?
I hate Arby's.
Jaina, I thought I was going to kick Javi out today, but it's going to have to be Jaina. Oh, shit. Okay, well, another episode, Jaina. You hate Arby's. All right.
It's so gross.
We'll bleep it out. We'll just be, I hate bleep. So that just sucks. And Jessica, you're talking about like finding a balance. And I emotionally eat. So I'm looking for all the junk when I'm upset. And then I feel gross. And then I do 5 push-ups and I'm like, yeah, I feel better. But it's not. That doesn't balance. So I think trying to figure that out. And our son started kindergarten a week and a half ago. So trying to figure out the routine of dropping the two kids off at two different schools has been a lot. Best part, we've been making more time. Serena and I have been making more time to like hang out as a couple. Because as parents, Javi, you know this, you just found a baby. It's kind of hard for the third time. You know, you're a parent and that's cool, but you are also a couple before you became parents. And so trying to find time and make time to hang out with just us has been hard. So it was cool this week. We got to watch a few movies and a lot of episodes of stuff. And so that's been really nice. What song recommendations do y'all have? Doesn't have to be a new song. Jaina is already laughing. It's a song that's hitting you in the heart. Jaina, what are you going to share yours? You RB hating.
I'm talking to Mr. Michael and our people for this podcast. Yeah.
Does she have a song?
Later.
Do we have a guest?
we have a song. So the song that I've been obsessing over is You Wish by Flannaboss. It's that one viral song on Instagram where the two chicks are just running through like random areas and they're rapping their music.
Flannaboss?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
I'm trying to write it down. Okay.
Yeah, Flannaboss.
Why?
It's just these two, and she wears like the fake elf ears.
Okay.
I love. And I just elf? Like... I don't know. It just popped up on my Instagram feed and I was like, what is this? And I thought, huh, I like this song. And so then it came out on like Apple Music and then I was obsessed. I was just listening to it constantly. And then because they're running through, like they ran through like a grocery store, a Dave and Buster's. I think they ran through Disneyland.
Yeah.
They ran through all these different, I think they ran through a Costco. And they have their fans or people that follow them say, you know, tell us where we should go next. I think they ran through a gym. Another person, like they ran through like a sandwich shop. I don't know. And they're just running, rapping lyrics. And now people are running through things, rapping lyrics to their songs. And I thought, this is silly. And I thought, I don't know what's going on with my life. But I enjoy it tremendously. So that song I am obsessed with right now.
Christ. I'm about to sin again. I said I love you to that man, but I'm not feeling it. I'm made of sugar, spice, connect, cologne, and cinnamon.
And I need to find
Dijon, what song are you obsessed with right now? Wagon Wheel? No?
Darius Rucker?
Yeah, she loves Darius Rucker.
Nice.
Fun fact, him and I actually went to high school together.
No, really?
You and Darius Rucker?
Yep, me and Darius Rucker. We used to
carpool. Hootie and the Blowfish?
You did not.
No, it was just Blowfish, no Hootie.
Oh.
It used to be Javi and the Blowfish. And then they said, that sounds too ethnic.
I wasn't going to bring that. Technically, I'm not allowed to talk about that.
Okay, let's move on.
Detail. Yeah.
Let's move on. All right. Jessica, what is your song?
Well, I think right now, so there's an artist that I really am like loving, and I really like the R&B, the singing, the singers. And I felt like for a long time, I haven't found for me, like a good R&B artist to connect to. It's just been so long, like, you know, before used to be like, I don't know, Usher or, you know, those like type of R&B. So lately I've been into, I think I'm going to say his name right, Brent Faiyaz. Do you guys know who that is?
The name rings a bell, but I can't. Yeah.
So he's like singing R&B, but it's all like gangster shit. And I'm like obsessed. So he's basically like super hood, but singing about it. And I just love it. And there's this one song called Heal Your Heart. And he's basically like singing beautifully, but just talking about, you know, the hood and the trap and making money. And it's like, Robert's like, why do you like this? I'm like, I don't know. It's just a different take on like the gangster shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's who I'm obsessing over right now is Brent Faiyaz. I think that's how you say his last name.
Only love me cause they see me getting money now. Fuck the whole front row at the show if you ain't there.
What set does he rep?
Wow.
I'm sorry?
What set did Michael, am I saying that right?
Yeah, it's set.
Okay, yeah, what set does he rap?
Well, he's not really a rapper. He's more like just a singer.
Okay, all right.
So he's like, he's not rapping in any of his songs. He's just like singing about what rappers would rap about. Does that make sense? So oh, he's like,
okay, that's kind of interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So instead of like, you know, rapping it out, he's like harmonizing beautiful about this gangster life. And I think that's why I love it so much. I've never heard an R&B artist do that. They're more about love and hooking up and, you know, but he's like singing about rap subjects, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Almost like Nate Dogg. That's what's sort of ringing the bell in my head of like someone with a beautiful voice and singing, but you're like saying fuck the bitches or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Oh, okay. And there's another song called Rolling Stone. He's basically talking about being an addict and being in the streets and treating his women horribly, but he's singing about it and it's so beautiful, but it's so wrong at the same time. So that's who my artist is right now. It's very interesting.
Brent Rolling Stone. Okay. Javi, you okay? Do you have a song?
Oh. So I am terribly afraid of aging. So like I hear a lot of new artists and I'm just like I don't know who that is. I don't know. In any genre. So I mean like when people talk to me about music, very, very frequently does it roll back to Stevie Wonder, Earth, Wind, Fire, Santana, you know, Bruno Mars, stuff like that. But I mean, like there are so many new artists that I'm just like, who is that? What is that person's job?
Yeah.
I do have a song, but it was one of those, like, it's resonating with me right now because of the relevance to my life. Not necessarily like it's brand new, it's the hottest song. But it's Night Shift by the Commodores.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those that I'm just like obsessively singing at work because I'm literally working on the night shift. But it's not like I'm working on the night shift, so I'm singing about the night shift. It's like that song is just very calming to me. And this current role at Amazon is my first time on night shift, and it's very difficult to switch your schedule into night shift if you weren't currently there, right? Like everyone has to transition to the new night shift schedule. So I'm going into work at 6 p.m. And you ever go to a movie theater during the day and then you leave the movie theater when the movie's over and it's like 3 p.m. So like the sun is out and you're like, this is not how things are supposed to be. that's working the night shift. You leave and you see the sun and you're like, man, that sunset looks good. And you're like, no. The sun is coming up over the mountains, not going down. So it can be kind of frustrating because it's Saturday and you're getting out of work at 6 a.m. And you're like, wow, like this is cool. But it's not because you're really tired and you gotta sleep. But the rest of society is like getting up for the day. They're getting ready to start.
Mm-hmm.
And so that song is just, it's very calming. So like I might be getting off of shift at 6 a.m. kind of mad because like technically my entire weekend's gone. That being Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or Thursday night if you go out on Thursday, whatever. But, you know, like I'm relaxed knowing that I'm about to go into my weekend. Like today is the first day of the week that is my day off. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yay, Sunday morning.
Who wants to hang out?
Sunday morning. Yeah, let's hang out.
There's a Sunday fun day and brunch and
you jump on. Yeah, it's difficult for me to make it to that. I did it once while I was on this shift and you get very, very out of sorts, right? Like if people wake up in the morning and they're like, we had plans to do brunch today. Let's go do brunch 10 a.m. and let's do mimosas. That's all fine and dandy. But when you're coming off of shift and you're like, yeah, let's go do mimosas, they hit very, very hard. And so I don't really do Sunday fun day in the morning anymore.
Damn. That makes sense. You're very profound for an 18-year-old. Okay, so my song is Don't by Simu Liu, which yes, the guy who played Shang-Chi, he released a song. I follow him on Instagram and he's like, hey, this is dropping. check it out, Michael Lobo. And I said, what? You're shouting me out. And so I found it. And it, of course, the music video is all dramatic. It's in black and white. He's alone in some random ass warehouse. And his voice isn't powerful, at least not on this song. This is the first time I've heard him sing. But it's a sweet song, and he plays piano on it, which I'm not surprised, Asian. And it's great. He looks sexy as fuck. And I'm like, yes, Asian people can be sexy, bitch. And I'm just excited for him. I don't know if it's going to do well. I don't know if his music career, I don't know if he's just bored in between Marvel movies or whatever. But I was just excited with the song. I was tearing up at the song. I don't quite know what the lyrics are, but he sounds very sad when he's singing it. So it did something right, or maybe it was the whiskey I was drinking while listening to the song. Simu Liu, it's called Don't.
There'll be times when it gets hard to stay. Feels easier to throw it all away.
And it came out this week. Asian Sexiness.
Is it the album?
It should. I'm gonna recommend it to him. That should be the album name.
Because I googled that, and
is it not the album name?
I didn't get the album.
You googled Asian Sexiness?
Yeah.
Turn off your safe search.
Oh, because it's an explicit album.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably very explicit. It's very explicit. Yeah.
I'll try again.
Yeah, try it again later when we're not here. And I really wish, Javi, like as we're talking, like the top of your roof comes off, like you're in an Amazon package. Does that make sense? I keep imagining like you're talking and then somebody opens it. You're like, stop it here! And then
I didn't tell.
They do ship their workers.
Okay, I gotta go over this with them later. Okay.
Oh,
thanks for outing me on that. But
it was just something I imagined. Okay, sorry. There's a list of topics. I'm so excited. Hopefully we get through a lot of them. The first one, I have no idea. Javi, a generation's anti-drug propaganda. What in the world do you mean by that?
Okay, so to preface this.
I hope you preface this.
It kind of goes into the whole age thing. So I was talking to my girlfriend, and I feel like now more than ever, weed is almost entirely, in terms of legality, it's there. Mm-hmm. But there are still people who like don't accept it. Now, me personally, I'm neither pro nor against. I don't have a problem with it. I don't smoke because I don't enjoy the smell of it. But it was never like this moral, you're going to ruin your life kind of thing. And then that takes me back to when I was a wee lad, a young child.
Wee lad.
Don't do the accent. You know how I feel about it.
I have to.
And there was a few different anti-drug campaigns. There was, if you remember, Truth.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a big orange background with white, like almost like Braille letters, like dotted letters, but just about Truth. And they were about weed, then they were about cigarettes, then they were about vaping, right? Their campaign just kind of revolved around what I'll just call addictive habits, I guess, whatever. But then there was like, so her and I were talking about this, right? She's like, oh yeah, I remember those. And we started laughing because the anti-marijuana commercials were so ridiculous. Ridiculous in that they make weed out to be like this drug that's like poison. Like it's going to kill you. You're going to ruin your life. Like no one's going to want to be around you. No one's going to hire you. You're not going to find a partner. You're not all these things. Right. And we both laughed at the commercial of like, it's like these two girls sitting on a couch. And one girl's like, this is my friend, April. She used to be really fun. And then she got high once. And it's like this rubber deflated doll.
Yes.
But it represents her, right? It's supposed to, it's like literally her. She's like truly like deflated, like her blood and bones are out. And she's like, she got high ones. Now she just sits there and she doesn't really do anything. And yes, then it's like,
that.
Yeah, then like fades to black and it's like weed, right?
Like, I can't.
Weed, ruining lives everywhere. So she brought that one up and I was like, oh, did you ever see the one with the dog? And she's like, no. Yes. And so again, this is when I say this is like an age thing, is because these commercials are fully gone. You have to locate them. And this girl, her name's like April. All the girls are named April. And April's like in her kitchen, like looking at the fridge. And then she hears like, "Hey, April." And she's like, "The hell was that?" And she turns around and her dog like jumped up on the counter. He's like, "Hey, April." And she's like super confused, staring at the dog. And the dog's mouth starts moving as it's talking to her, and it's like, "I really wish you didn't smoke weed." The dog's like, "I really wish you didn't smoke weed. Different when you're high. And I miss my friend." And she's just staring. And then the dog like runs away. Not from the house. He runs away from the conversation. It got too hard.
Okay.
And her and I were talking, and I was like, "Who wrote these commercials? Like, they're so dumb." And don't get me wrong, me as an 11-year-old, I'm like, no weed, because my dog will get sad, even though I never had a dog since mom and dad.
Oh.
And I'm like, when they wrote this commercial, what was the goal? Was it to say like, this girl's high and as a result she's tripping out and this dog is like talking to her? Or is it just like the dog, her conscience, and he's like, "When you're high, you don't give me your animal, your pet, any attention?" And I'm like, all around, it's just a poorly written commercial, in my opinion. It's just kind of silly. And then I brought up another commercial. So I was sorry, I just want to use three examples. I brought up another commercial to her. I was like, "Did you ever see this one?" And she was like, "What the hell? No." And I go, "Yeah, it was about like this kid, this guy, his name's April."
I knew it.
he's sitting in a laundromat. He's just some like teenager. He's like, call him 17, 18. And he's like sitting in a laundromat, which were a thing back in the day. It was a building and it had like 100 washers and dryers. And you would go in with quarters and you would wash your clothes there instead of like at your house. It was a big social experiment in the 90s. And he's sitting there and he's kind of listening to music. I'm assuming like Curtis Blow or
nope, probably not Curtis Blow.
Probably not. And then this guy like bursts into the laundromat, right? Like kicks open the door and he starts robbing people. He's like, "Where's the money?" And this woman's like, I don't know, like, please." And she's like holding her kids. And one of the kids screams and he's like, "Shut up." And then you hear him like smack someone and you look and someone's now on the ground. He's running. I was like, "Give me the money." And it's very intense. Like for a commercial on cable, it's very intense. It's violent. And he's running around. And then the kid in the hoodie looks at him and then they're far apart. They're like 40 feet away or whatever, 30 feet away. I didn't have my measuring device.
Say, how big is this laundromat? Okay.
But I know it was Super Laundromat.
Oh, okay. I see.
And, he sees him, they lock eyes and he runs up to him and the kid's like panicking, but he has nowhere to go because though this place is rather large, he is at the edge of it. So he runs up to him and he grabs him by his sweatshirt. And his face is far away, as it zooms in like this, you see it's him. It's the same kid, but his face is all destroyed from like using meth, you know, like whatever meth does, mess with your teeth, mess with your skin. And he grabs him and he's like, "This wasn't supposed to be your life." And then it fades to black. And then it says, it makes like a burning sound. It's like, and it says meth, not even once. And she was like, "What the hell? No, I've never seen that." And I was like, "No, dude, I swear to you, this was a real campaign." I go on YouTube and I go, look, there's this one, this one, this one, this one. There was like four or five meth commercials that I remember.
Uh-huh.
All of which were very dark.
They were intense.
Yeah, they were super intense. And she's like, "I've never seen any of these. I wonder if these commercials were pushed out different by states," because she's from California. Mm. So she's like, "I never saw those." And so then we kind of just went down that rabbit hole of like, what was this one? What was this one? And we just kept watching them. And I'm like, I don't see commercials like these anymore, like at all. Okay, now someone else go.
I can't think of the last drug commercial either. There was one where a girl was cleaning her bathroom and it's about meth. And it's like, meth, meth. I got the cleanest house on the street. And she's like freaking out cleaning. Yeah. There's like bugs. And it, I mean, not once did I ever try meth.
Not the meth ones, I don't remember. The vaping ones, I remember. And the ones that, which I was thinking, who smokes cigarettes anymore? Like, nobody smokes cigarettes. They smoke the electronic ones now. But apparently people still smoke cigarettes. But that's not what I'm getting at. The one I saw was, it's the girl in the bathroom in high school. And she's trying to get back to class, or she's trying to get her vape pen out of her bag, and it falls in like the disgusting school toilet. And then she pulls it out, shakes it off, and then vapes from it. And then her friend is like, "Ew, are you kidding?" And then they leave the bathroom and they go to the class, and the girl's just like, "Was that gross?" Like, she has that look on her face, like, "Was that disgusting?" And the girl's friend is like, "Yeah, bitch, that was gross." Like, all I thought was, is it that serious that you have to grab your pen out of a nasty school toilet? Like, ew. But I've never seen that meth commercial. I don't think I've ever seen a commercial for meth. But Arizona, I feel like, has meth, but I don't live in Apache Junction. That's so stereotyping.
That's the second sponsor of this podcast. Gosh, Jaina, so rude. Are you kidding me?
I'm so sorry.
So two things. One, it wasn't a commercial for meth.
Oh, against meth.
However, I will say that I am a traveling musician, as bonkers as that sounds. That's real. And when I go to different parts of Arizona, there's a particular part. I won't mention them by name because they are one of the sponsors of this podcast. But there is a particular part.
That's how you do it, Jaina.
In northern Arizona, that I verified this. Someone told me, and I was like, seriously? And then I asked around, and apparently that's not what you do. It's like the meth capital in Arizona. Like, it's where all of the meth in Arizona comes from. And I was like, why are we here? And they were like, because they're a sponsor of this podcast.
Yeah. And they love Earth, Wind, and Fire. We need you to play some Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Mostly fire.
Just not too much fire.
Well, I'll show you how old I am. I feel like I wore the most appropriate t-shirt. Let me see.
Uh-oh.
You guys see this?
Not Dare.
Okay, yes. So that's how old I am. I know about Dare.
Yeah,
we know. Yeah, I hate to disclose how old I am. I'm like you, Javi. I'm 29 forever. So, okay.
Me too.
With the Dare, that's what I grew up in elementary. And no one knew what it stood for. You know, it actually stands for drug abuse resilience
education.
But as a kid, I never knew what that stood for. And the commercial that I remember the most is, there's two. One was the egg where they crack the egg and they're like,
yeah,
this is your brain. This is your brain on questions. Yeah, I have tons of questions. Like, why, what does that do? Like, why is your brain doing that?
Uh-huh.
So that's one. And then the other one, that one, like, you know, really made me think more. Like, I felt like everyone kind of, when they would talk about it. So it's a young man. He's probably like 11, 12. And you see him, it's like, the scene is like us, like maybe like central LA or like LA, like it's definitely like, you know, a hood. And this young man is like jumping and like hurtling over fences and running through back alleys. And the last part, he's trying to run through like a busy street. And on the corner, that's where you see all the gangbangers and the drug dealers. And the slogan is, you know, to all the young kids who take the long way home, you know, we're with you. And it was basically, you know, just a child trying to stay away from all the bad stuff. So with the drug campaigns, the egg one, you know, how it stayed with me, like, but why does it make your brain like that? I read an article where it was saying that study showed with all these different campaigns against drug substance abuse, it was actually making kids want to try,
uh-huh,
versus then scaring them away. And so with me, you know, being just a curious cat when I was young, you know, me trying different drugs as a young teen, you know, I always felt that guilt, like, oh my God, something, you know, just because I would go back to that young man running through those streets, you know, that was the commercial that stuck with me, not the egg one. That what made me want to try it was the egg commercial. So I think when they started getting really dark with the meth commercials, I don't think people liked it. People don't want to see the truth, right? And they made it so scary and dark. I think that's why they were removed. And with those, I do agree that with those, at least those were scary. And that would make me never want to try meth. however, you know, I think that's why they were removed. And you don't see that anymore. You're right. You don't see any commercials. And I feel nowadays there has to be something, like, you know, now that new drug's going to affect, I think it's called Trank. And that's terrifying. The zombie, you've seen the zombies, the ones that are like slumped over. And that to me, there has to be something that we need to talk about. Now, my son being seven, so what I'm understanding from Robert's young nieces and nephews, these kids are like sixth graders, seventh graders. They're telling me that there's drug dealers pushing the drugs in junior high. You know, what is the next step? Is it now going to be in elementary? Is it going to be, you know, fifth grade, fourth grade? So with us trying to teach Isaac that it's been, we just can't say no. Like, that's not going to work. So how do we, you know, for our kids approach that? That's what I think about on a weekly basis, only because driving around, you see more and more and more, and it's getting younger. The kids are getting younger out there.
What's Trank?
Yeah, what is Trank?
So basically, Trank is a horse tranquilizer.
Oh, shit.
Is lethal to humans. And so what they're doing is they're mixing the horse tranquilizer with fentanyl.
Oh.
And when you see the people slumped over, like, they're literally standing there, but, like, that's what they're taking. And so what it's doing is it's killing them from the inside out. So it's breaking down all their like muscle tissue, all their bones, all everything. And so people are starting to get sores from it. And now they're starting to get amputated because this drug, what they're saying is it's like the highest high you can get. However, it's literally killing you every single time you try it. And now with fentanyl, you know, they're saying this is going to be the drug where there's going to be no, how do I say, recovery from it, because it's just so lethal. And now that they're mixing these two things together, it's just, I just don't understand how, you know, we got to this point. Like, we're mixing animal tranquilizer for people. It's insane. So that's where, you know, for me with Isaac, I also read another article where now, you know, every single drug, street drug out there is cut with fentanyl because it's so highly addicting. They're like, you won't find cure anymore. And if Isaac takes after me, being a curious kid, how are we going to navigate that? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So
I was a very rebellious teen. It was terrible. But those drug commercials made me never want to try meth or crack cocaine or heroin. I will tell you that.
But to your point, and I hope I'm not saying something scary to a parent, but like the drugs that we were offered as kids are very different from the drugs that are today, right? We're talking about like super drugs. And it's like, hey, do you want to go sneak one of your dad's beers? Which I'll say, and some people might not agree with me, I think that's mildly innocent. I think that's one of those like just social taboos of like, no, this is for adults versus like, no, this is going to ruin your life. You know, but it's like, yeah, let's go sneak into mom or dad's liquor cabinet or whatever. We're 13, 14 years old versus like, hey, do you want to try some fentanyl laced cocaine that my brother has in his room? It's like, wow, that's bonkers. Like, that is so off the wall.
Yeah, thanks for scaring the shit out of us, the three parents. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. We've only had a couple conversations with our son I don't know why. I think he was watching Breaking Bad with me, and I think no, I'm sorry. Okay. But I really don't understand how it came up. But I was like, we try to be honest with him, and I'm like, they're on drugs, and then he's like, what's drugs? I'm like, oh shit, okay. So I think it's just conversations as parents to try to have with the kids, and I think where those programs or commercials fail is it brings up questions that the kid may have, but there's no one there to talk to about it. Mm-hmm. So then they're like, well, I guess I have to try it to see what it is. And then shit hits the fan. So we try to be honest, but that trank, that's scary.
And God. You know what, Javi, like with me, I think my mom, like my parents were like, you cannot do that. Don't you dare do that. You're going to go to hell for eternity if you do that. And I'm like, so you, it's just taking a different approach. You're absolutely right. Like with us before, I would never let Isaac see me have a adult beverage, never. And Robert's like, why? Like, and I'm like, I just don't want him to become an alcoholic. I don't want him to see us, you know? So what we started doing is now he sees us drink responsibly. So if we go to a family party, we'll have a couple. And then Isaac pays attention. He's like, how many was that? And I was like, I've only had two. That's the legal limit in Arizona, right? And he's like, okay. So he's like paying attention to what we're doing, how we're behaving. Our son's around a lot of older cousins. Like I said, the sixth, seventh graders, the teenagers. And he sees them with their vape pens. He sees them and he asks me, mom, what is that? And I said, well, we're different parents. Like, you know, Robert's family has their kids different. We're going to raise you different. And so what we explain is the vape, you know, is something choice. But for us, you're going to have to be 18 if you want to have one and use it in front of us. We want to just teach our son, like, if you want to try something, you got to talk to us first. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if he will do that. I'm just hoping that something registers in his brain when it's that time. But it's so hard. It's hard to navigate. It's just a different world right now.
I think what you have is a good starting point. I feel like Penelope, because Penelope's only two, so she'll be three next month. So, you know, she'll see us with our beer or our wine and be like, can I have some of that? That's like, no, this is mommy's drink. This is what mommy's and daddy's drink. You don't get to have some of this one just because it's not for everybody. This is special. I think the fact that you are like, you're setting that boundary of this is what your cousins are doing. We're different parents and that's not what we're going to do. And you know, if that's something that you want to look at when you're 18 years old, then we can have a conversation and the door is open. It's not completely closed and shut. Like when our parents are like, no, you don't do that, period. Mm-hmm. Like there's option for conversation. And just like what Michael was saying before, the fact that there's conversations that are having, because I don't think back in the day, like it sounds so weird to say that, but when we were growing up, our parents didn't have those conversations, like especially when it came to like sex conversations. Yes. Or even my sister recalls when she got her period and our mom really didn't give her a real like, this is what your body is going through conversation. Like there was no sex talk. Like it was just like something that you don't talk about. And then, you know, things happen and you tell your mom and then she freaks out. Like, how did this not happen? It's like, well, we never really talked about it. So what do you do? So I think the fact that you have this, there's a line of communication. I think that's always a good start to right. anything that you do, like to anything. It's like there's that line of like, we can always talk about this and that and open door policy.
And then I always use to a little bit of guilt, like in a good way though. And so what I say is like, when you see your cousins doing that, how does it make you feel? And Isaac's like, I don't like it. So I'm like, if you did that and your little cousin Oliver saw you do that, and he like thinks about it like, oh shoot, because Isaac and Oliver are very close. Mm-hmm. And Isaac always tries to be a role model for his younger cousins.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, think about how all the way you feel, how it makes you feel uncomfortable when you see your cousins do that. How would your little cousins think? Like, you know, and so he thinks about it. And he's like, yeah, you're right. You're right. And I'm like, oh, I hope that still stays in his brain when he's, you know, a little older.
I'm still waiting for my mom to give me the sex talk. So, Jaina, you said, how much trust do you put into a stranger to get something you want? Of course, I went to some weird extremes in my brain. But why did you want to talk about this?
So it goes back to why I'm on such a high. From San Diego Comic-Con, it's huge, huge convention, comic convention, like pop culture convention with anime, video games, the whole nine yards. But because of certain situations in Hollywood, you know, not a lot of people were there. But there's a lot of merch there. And the merch that is there is somewhat exclusive to San Diego Comic-Con. So you have big vendor booths, like Marvel has a huge booth. DC has a lot of merch. Funko, those Funko Pop are absolutely, like, people do anything for those things. But in order to get into some of these booths, or at least be able to purchase from them, you have to be put into a lottery. And you can put however many points you have into the lottery, and it's chosen at random whether or not you get it. And as many times as we've gone, I've been lucky. I've never been lucky to get Funko. So I put all my basket or all my tickets into Funko because I'm like, I'm not going to get it anyway, so it doesn't matter. Lo and behold, I have a ticket to go to Funko booth, and I am freaking out because this is a huge deal. Like, I've been going to Comic-Con in San Diego. It took us forever to get tickets, and we finally got tickets, and we've been going steadily since, we'll say, like 2018. 2017.
Oh, wow.
And I've never been able to get to this booth. So the fact that I now am at this booth, I don't particularly care for Funko Pops, but because I was honored and blessed with this ticket, I'm like, I have to purchase something. So I have another experience at Loungefly, which they sell those really cute little mini backpacks themed or like Disney or Marvel or whatever. That was a whole experience. And during that experience, I met up with another goer who was dressed as Sailor Mercury. I was dressed as Sailor Jupiter. And I adopted her as my line friend because we were trying to tackle this Loungefly booth. As we tackle this booth, I get in the line. We have another friend that is with her. She ends up getting her contact information, and I tell her, text me the items you want. I will purchase them for you. And then we'll discuss the details of payment back at later. So instead of just, you know, letting me purchase these for her, she gives me her credit card. She just gives me her credit card.
Oh.
And I say to her, you are a Sailor Scout. I am a Sailor Scout. We fight for truth, love, and justice. And I will not disrespect or take advantage of your card. Like, I'm a good person. I will not do that. I've met this girl and known her for maybe 2 hours. I purchased her things with her card. I purchased my things with my card, and we keep it going. So there's that, because she doesn't know me, but she put enough trust that I was just going to purchase her items. And I did. So after I purchase her items, I go to Funko and I am like, all right, I have my ticket. I'm ready to go. Oh, it's Sunday. So I ask the guy, what are the rules? He's like, okay, you come during your time slot. We'll give you a sheet with all the Funkos that we have. You mark what you want. You make your purchase and you're done. You can browse, whatever. So I go, okay, cool. As I get ready to walk away, this guy walks up to me and says, you have a time slot for Funko. I said, I do, for tomorrow or Sunday at noon. He goes, would you be willing to buy Funko Pops for me? And I go, what? He goes, I will buy any and all Funko Pops that you want, plus what I want, if you will get what I want for me during your time slot. I'm like, wait, what? He said, yeah, whatever Funkos you want, I will purchase for you. And you get the ones I want. And I'm like, okay, sure. We exchange phone numbers and I go on my way. Sunday morning comes around. He texts me and says, hey, this is when I'll be at the exhibit hall. I say, okay, this is when I'll be there. I meet up with him. We're discussing some of the things that we want. And I go, well, I know we both want this Powerpuff Girls set, but I think we only can purchase one per person. So let me go see if I can get doubles. So I go ask the Funko people. They say, no, only one exclusive per person. Okay. I go back and tell them, and I say, because I want the Powerpuff Girls. Is that one that you're willing to part with? He says, no, I would like to keep that one. So I'll give you an additional $150. Before I could say what he said, so the deal is I'll buy all of your Funko Pops plus the ones I want, and I'll give you an additional $150. Oh, I said, okay. Okay, now at this point, we have not talked about how the purchase is going to happen. So I do some laps. It's my time to go to Funko. And I get there and I'm texting him pictures of the different Funko Pops. Fairly Odd Parents he wanted is sold out. Powerpuff Girls is sold out. Some other ones he wants are sold out. While I'm texting this, he says, I'm right behind you. And I go, oh, okay. So I'm showing him different ones. He asked the people if he can join me in the line or at the counter. You are not allowed to go past the counter if you don't have your time slot. Somewhere or another, he managed to meet up with me at the line. And I was like, okay, good for you. He's like, okay, I got this. I'll take care of it. And I'm like, okay. So I say what I want. He says what he wants. He gets some other ones. He looks at me and he goes, do you want anything else? And I go, what? He's like, do you want anything else? Is there any other pop that you want? And I'm like, I was thinking about that one, so I'll take that one. He's like, okay. X amount of dollars later, he purchased all of the Funkos I wanted plus his. And I said to him before we started to part ways, you know, we talked about the Powerpuff Girls set, and because it sold out, neither one of us can get it. I don't think it's right for me to ask you for that $150. And he goes, yeah, I understand that. He's like, so what about $50? And I go, well, what about $100? And he goes, okay, sure. I go meet up with his girlfriend who's standing in the general admission line that they don't open until all of the time slots have been done. And he Venmos me $100 and he says, thank you very much. And I go, thank you. And I go on my merry way. I didn't pay for anything at that booth for the first time being at that booth. And I got an additional $100.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So what I meant from this is that guy did not know me. That Sailor Mercury didn't know me. And I feel like in that situation, they could have easily been taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. Like, I only got 5 Funkos that I know I wanted since I had it. I looked through their list and I was like, oh, I think I want these. And then with the Loungefly, like, I could have easily made purchases on her credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And she wouldn't have known the total. Like, I could have bought 2 backpacks, one for me, one hers, and the other thing she wanted. Like, I could have done that, but I didn't. So it just made me think, like, those people wanted those items, and they trusted me, the stranger, to get something that they wanted. Like, are you, like, how are you willing to do that? Like, is it just because you know you're at Comic-Con and you're around people that are huge fans like you? Is it just because I am awesome and you get that vibe that I'm awesome? Or what? The fact that it still blows my mind that guy easily spent about $400 on that Funko booth, and 100 of it was just because we both couldn't get anything, but the only reason he could get to that line was because of me.
Uh-huh.
So I just was wondering, like, how much faith do you put into a stranger to get something that you want? Like, that's like, it's mind boggling that is an experience that I had.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I feel like other people could have easily, like, I could have not ever met up with her and I could have run off with her credit card. That guy, I could have just been like, I want all 20 of these. I don't know how much money he really had or how much he was willing to spend, but
they like had
ruining this guy's life.
I know.
Like, seriously, like it was mind-boggling because some people are, I know, are like the fandom is hard. And especially with those Funko Pops, people get serious about those.
Mm-hmm.
So would you do that? Nope. And then if you're the stranger, like, what do you do in that situation? Like, I mean, I think I handled it nicely. I didn't take advantage of anybody because then, I mean, that's just bad karma going in your direction. But yeah, no. So like, how much faith are you willing to put? Like, how much trust are you willing to put in a stranger to get something that you want?
Seven.
Seven?
Yeah, I'm at a seven.
What's the scale? One to seven?
Yeah, I'd put it somewhere on a nine.
On a scale of one to seven?
No, scale one to nine, I'm at a seven.
Okay.
Jaina, to your point, I wonder if how much of this is trust versus how much of it is excitement, you know, like you're so excited to be there, and that excitement masks kind of like your spot, like almost like if it was like a show or something, and these two friends are together, and one of the friends gives you the credit card, and you're like, okay, cool, and you skip off to wherever, and then the friend's like, hey, I'm back with the soda. Do you have the credit card that is funding our entire trip and making sure we get home safe? And you're like, oh yeah, no big deal. I just gave it to this girl who's gonna go buy us Funko Pops. And they're like, You what? Do you know this person? Did you get their contact information? Do you trust them? Did they buy yada yada yada? And then every time you ask a question, your confidence gets like lower and lower and lower, and you're like, oh my god, what did I just do? You know, again, like you said, fortunately, you're a good person, because I would imagine I'm the same, where like if someone was like, hey, here's some money, can you go buy me this? I'd be like, okay, unless there was something preventing me. But if there was something preventing me, I'd be like, I can't take your money because I can't do this.
Mm.
And it's like, how much of that is you being a good person versus how much of that is them being like a foolish person, you know?
Yeah. I think some of it was San Diego Comic-Con is like not an exclusive event, but it takes a lot to get there. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot to do stuff there, right? That's different than if I'm walking around Tempe Marketplace. Someone's like, here, can I use your credit or whatever, like the situation. But if we're just fucking around at Tempe Marketplace, that's different, I feel. And I guess there is the trust of the fandom there. You're dressed up. She's dressed up. You both have a love for Funko, or you want some stuff from there. I think that had a lot to do with it. I wouldn't give my credit cards. Like, I don't think I could do it. Oh, God. Even if we're dressed as the same, like, One Piece or whatever. Like,
you're both Aang from Avatar.
I'll eventually watch Avatar, so I'll understand what that means. And, you know, I don't think I could give my credit card. If someone were to trust me, oh my, I would have to guard it with. I'd be so stressed out guarding that credit card. And like, I'd get the receipt. I'd take a picture of the receipt. Like, I'd have to double down and be like, this is what it cost. This is everything. The dude, I just don't think I could trust somebody with my credit card. Even if I leave my phone in the classroom and the classroom assistant is doing like setting up centers, I go back and get my phone just because I'm like, I don't know you. I know we're in the same class. I know we work at the same job. Like I just don't have trust for people like that. And it even goes for something like a phone or car keys or whatever it may be. Yeah. That's awesome though for you.
Yeah. Like it was a great experience.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then you, it will, if you think about it, for example, so we rent where we're at. However, our deal with our landlord is if something were to break, like plumbing or HVAC, we're going to call someone out to come and repair it.
Hmm.
So if that happens, we're letting strangers, mm-hmm. right, come in and assess the issues. And we're putting all of our trust at that time that they're going to do it right, not overcharge us, fix the problem, make sure that it's not going to reoccur. So with that being said, you know, I feel like, are we putting trust in that person in that moment, because that's what we need at that moment, right? I feel like if you, like how Michael says, if you're in a different situation, they would have never given you their credit card, but because they wanted it right there, they're like, I'm just gonna put all my trust in you. Mm-hmm. The same with like us, when we have to hire new technicians to go out and do apartments, we don't really know. We know their background, we know, you know, all this, but do we really know that person? We're sending them into various different apartments to do those repairs. We're putting our trust into these technicians to do the right thing. And when things go sour, you know what I mean? It's a very, I guess, basically, I feel like you're putting in your trust at that moment of what you need in that moment. Mm-hmm. Right? Am I making sense?
You're willing to trade that off.
At that moment.
At that moment, yeah.
But if a random vendor comes up to my door, for example, just the other day, they were trying to sell me an upgrade to our alarm system. And I'm like, get out of here. Like, no, get away. Who are you? I'm going to call the cops. Get away. But why? Because I didn't need them at that moment. Does that make sense? I'm like,
and they were, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, well, how do you not have an alarm system? Like, it started going into like a panic mode because I'm like, I didn't order this. I didn't, you know, but if I really needed an alarm system, how would that conversation go?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, come on in. Let me show you. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I guess, weird. The time frame.
Jessica, you wanted to talk about something really happy and uplifting, child trafficking. And I put it under with the Sound of Freedom movie because you suggested that. Are you getting into trafficking? What's going on? What are we doing?
So for years, I gotta go back. I feel like this is like the human trafficking, not just children trafficking. Yeah. Human trafficking is like a real thing. I do believe it's a real thing. Mm-hmm. So many people say it's fake, it's this and that, but just the fact that we're in 2023 and it's like, right, there's tons of whistleblowing on it, correct? It just makes me think, like, I haven't seen the movie yet. We're supposed to go tonight. And I really want to see, you know, what their, I guess, view is on it or whatever, however they directed it. But it's getting a lot of heat, as you guys can see. It's not being broadcasted. It's not even being talked about in the media. So, and why, right? So the only thing is, I go back to, you know, I feel like this has gone on forever. And I just, you know, there's a story that I wanted to share and just how, I guess, how real it really is. There was one time where this was years ago. It was probably maybe like 15 years ago. And I was out with someone and we were coming home from being at the casino. So it's like 4 a.m. and we stop at a Circle K in a not very good area here in Tucson. And out of a car, an unidentified car, like didn't have a license plate, just like that paper. The reason why it called my attention is because this lady is like screaming at someone, like, you know, get the fuck out, hurry the fuck out, all this craziness. And when I look at her, she's a meth addict. Like, you can just see it, her face, like her movements, everything. And she has a little girl in her hand, and that's who she's screaming at. And the little girl looks and is dressed out of like a storybook character. Like, she has the biggest bow on her head, the prettiest little dress. And she didn't look like the lady screaming at her. She looked, I think, Hispanic. And it was the oddest thing I've ever seen. I'm like, well, how is this meth head with this little girl? So in the same movement as they're going into the Circle K, there's a guy with them, also meth addict. And he has a gun. And he's like holding it in his jeans and like showing everyone, like, don't fuck with us, right? And so we go into the Circle K and she's screaming at the little girl, hurry up, I told you this is the last time you're gonna use the restroom, da, 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 da. And the little girl is in, like, you could tell she's in fear, but she isn't saying anything, she's not talking. And the guy the whole time is like holding up his gun to everyone in the store. Like, don't mess with us. And I'm thinking in my head, that is the oddest. Like, I'm in a movie right now. Like, this is so fucking weird. So then they leave. And the guy that I'm with at the time, I'm like, I think we need to call the cops. That's not normal. And he's like, and he was a terrible person. And he was like, you know, why do you always want to get us involved? And you're going to, you know, that guy has a gun. He could shoot us. He could kill us. And I'm like, but something's not right with what we're seeing. And he's like, you don't know. Maybe that's her mom and maybe that's their life. And I go, but no, like, no. And so we got into a huge argument over it. And so I ended up calling 911 and I described the vehicle. I said it took off on I-10. And I said, it's just it was the weirdest thing. And never, 15 years ago, never did I think that that's what that was. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought, well, maybe the mom's just fucked up. I don't know. And now that this is all coming to light, I'm thinking, oh my God, that's probably what that was. In the scenario, the whole, it was insane. And the only other time that I can think where I saw something, which was the weirdest thing, where I'm like, and this was when I'm 15 years old. So we were in San Diego, I was with my family, and we're downtown San Diego. And we had stopped at a Walgreens, and it's me and my sister and my mom outside waiting for my dad, who popped into Walgreens. And on the corner of the street, there's a girl, maybe like 14 years old, and she looks homeless, like completely homeless, dirty. She has like a real buzz cut, and she's holding the dirtiest teddy bear. And it caught my eye because I'm thinking, how is this like 14 year old holding this like dirty little teddy bear, you know? And she turns to my sister and she's like, I really like your dress. And immediately these two men who were bathed and showered and clean, just regular clothing, come on, come on, come on, we gotta go. They grabbed her, they whisk her into a taxi and they take off. And I thought to myself, that is the weirdest thing, the weirdest situation I've ever seen. But being 15 years old, I never, right? You don't put those things together when you're so young. So now that this whole thing is spewing out, right, of the human trafficking and child trafficking, it kind of goes hand in hand with, like, I feel a little bit like with the drug, right, the anti-drug propaganda. Like, is this going to help promote or report these types of things we're seeing, or is it going to make it worse? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what it, you know what I mean? Now, are the people going to be more careful and be more, you see, it's like the weirdest. And that's why I wanted to bring it up. I just think hand in hand with the, you know, the propaganda, is it good that it's being brought to light? I think just awareness in general is great to be brought to life, but it's just such a crazy, mind-blowing, you know, thought that this is really happening, and it's been happening for generations.
Mm-hmm. I heard of the movie, and I started reading stuff about it. And then when you said you wanted to talk about it, so I was like, okay, well, let me read some more stuff. I haven't seen it. I think the issue, and I think it was the director who first started making the movie, and I won't say stuff to spoil it, since you're going to see it, and Javi hates spoilers of all kinds. Is this whole life it's taken outside of just the movie itself. So I believe the director, you know, when he made it, he wanted to bring awareness of trafficking, but because of the lead actor and a lot of the sort of stances that it, Ballard, the person it's based on, their stances on things in real life, it's sort of twisting what this idea of, hey, trafficking sucks, hey, we can work together on trafficking, but because of the people involved and how it is getting funded and circulated, it's getting
a bad rap.
And that sucks, because I know I've talked about on this podcast before, of just like, how do we separate the message or the project between like someone, an actor's personal life? You know, if this is not the first time where that the lead actor of a movie is sort of controversial in real life. Okay, well, do I go see the movie? Because then if I see the movie, then I'm supporting him. Right. And I don't want to support him, but I like one that's popping in my head is Guardians of the Galaxy with Chris Pratt. And so what do you do? So I'm not going to see it in theaters. I'll watch it when it comes to streaming because, you know, I love movies. But it's hard to untangle those two things of, you know, the message of the movie and a movie just being a movie versus like the people in it and the people who fund it. And what they stand for is against what I stand for morally. So it's like, well, that's shitty. And I'd love to talk with you about it whenever you do see it. But yeah, I read 75 articles on this movie without ever seeing it. So I will see it eventually. Yeah, I just don't want to see it in theaters.
Because you don't want to support behind. And that's the shitty thing about it is, yes, it's great that this is being brought, you know, awareness, but then the people behind it, it's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
So it's just hard.
Yeah. Jaina, Javi, do you have any?
I remember it was my mom wants to see the movie because she's just curious about the movie. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't want to see the movie only because I think it's not a topic that I don't even know how to describe. I don't even know why I don't want to see the movie. I just don't know if I don't want to see it. Mm. I just don't want to see it. But now I'm curious about, because I was just like, I didn't want to see it, that I didn't really look into a lot of the different articles about it. So now I'm curious as to how this movie is being funded and who is it, like, what is happening with some of this stuff with this movie? Because I know it's about human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that bringing awareness to a topic like this is good. And then, you know, the whole, how do you pull all that stuff apart? But now I'm like, so who funded this movie? Like, what are their stances? Are they honestly thinking that human trafficking is okay? Like, is that what you're thinking? Is that why you wanted this movie to come out? Like, what? So now I'm just curious. So after we're done with this, I'm going to look into like, who are these people that are helping funding this movie and what's your stance on it?
Yeah.
Wait till you see who it is. And you're going to be like,
God.
The only reason why I want to see the movie is just because, first of all, I want to do something on this Sunday. And mm-hmm. I just want to get out of the house. Like, we need to do something. And going back to what Michael said, is spending time with your partner. So we're mm-hmm. like, well, let's see this movie. And I didn't even think about the funding or anything towards the group that's behind it. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that. But when you find out who it is, it's like, I don't even know how to say it. It's just, like I said, bringing awareness, I think, is awesome always. But you're right in the sense, are we bringing it again to create awareness, or are we bringing it to light to make it worse?
Mm-hmm.
Am I making sense?
Yeah, because it doesn't seem like there's that conversation there of like, okay, we all agree trafficking is bad.
Correct.
And things that the movie does to portray it or whatever is, from what I've read, like problematic. Again, I haven't seen the movie, but there's no conversation there of like, okay, so what do we do? It's just like, this is bad. Duh. And you're just like, okay, it's bad. And then, but there's a, how do you fix it? There's no, what's the right way of going, having that discussion. Javi, do you have anything on this?
I hate traffic.
Okay. Very good.
No. So, I mean,
like, why are children driving?
That's why I keep finding these babies. Oh God. No, you know,
no, wrong time to bring up that joke.
Yeah, I know. Well, kind of like scoping outwards, from the whole topic and kind of looking at like the meth commercials, right. Or the trafficking thing. Like, I saw this billboard one time in Arizona, right off the I-17, it's probably still there. I didn't know Arizona is a massive trafficking state.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple things to this. One, I mean, it's one of those like Jessica, similar to what you're saying, where you're like, what do you mean? I mean, probably like one in every 1 million kids, right? And it's like, no, it's probably closer to like one in every 50. And you're like, what? Like, really? I made that statistic up, by the way. I don't know if it's one in every 50, but I certainly know it's more than one in a million.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Michael, similar to what you're saying, which is like, I know some of your educational background, and I'm meeting Jessica and Jana today for the first time, but I know with some of my educational background, all learning takes place where? In the debrief.
Mm-hmm.
That's where learning takes place. So you have a lot of, I'll just say, older generations who use things like scare tactics, right? So like the meth commercials, I know that some people wanted them to end because they were just too intense, like you had mentioned, Jessica. And someone else goes, dude, that's like Nazi propaganda, like just scaring people into compliance through just fear tactics. That's not educational, mm-hmm. right? That's dictatorial. I don't know, authoritarian. You can't just scare people into doing what you want them to do. And again, you know, learning takes place in this debrief where it's like during the lesson, you get confused or you get frustrated or you get emotional or you get challenged and things are there to challenge your paradigms. But, you know, it's not until like the facilitator has sat you down and said, so what did we see? What did we feel? You know, how would we do that differently? And as a society, we don't do that. That stops after elementary school. If you want that, you have to pursue that. You have to pursue that either in college classes, you have to pursue that in therapy, or maybe you have friends or family who are able to help you navigate those things. But I think there's so much that goes unchecked in society where it's like the learning doesn't take place. Only the initial shock factor, the initial experience, whatever takes place. And we're left as a bunch of typically unequipped people to try and figure out what's going on. And that's kind of where you get that. Like, I don't think it's numbness. I think it's ignorance. Because like, again, when I saw that billboard, I was like, what are you talking? I don't know any children who have been trafficked, right? Like I've never seen one. Not to say this billboard's fake, but it's clearly not as big of an issue as what this billboard's trying to make it out to be. And then later on, you see some article either on Facebook or BuzzFeed, and you're like, okay, Facebook and BuzzFeed said that 6,000 children were freed. That's Facebook and BuzzFeed. That's not reputable. And then you're like, if this was real, it'd be from, you know, like realsource.com that's sponsored by, or realsource.gov. And then what happens? You hear about all of these government officials who went to Epstein's Island where there's child trafficking, and you're like, okay, so either all of the government is bad, or this is, when is this coming up? Election season, right? And so it's all of these weird and unfortunately complicated or intertangled layers make it so hard to know this is something to appropriately be outraged about, or like, no, you sheep, you know, like you have both sides. And so again, if we go back to the peak time that people were talking about, like Antifa and stuff, like, are you anti-rape? Are you anti-trafficking? And it sounds silly for me to be like, no, I'm not anti-rape. There's, because anti suggests that there's pro.
Mm-hmm.
So rape should be universally bad. There should be no, which camp are you in? It's like, no, like, I'm not anti-trafficking. Trafficking is objectively evil and vile. No one chooses to get into trafficking. So when you have movies like this, movies by their nature are polarizing. What'd you think of the movie? I loved it. I hated it. Right. That's, Jana, to your point, something that I'm like, well, the unfortunate truth is there are going to be people walking out of the movie arguing. And it's like, yeah. I don't know the preface of the movie. I don't know the premise of the movie, but people are going to argue about it, which is interesting.
Right. Yeah. And you know what's so crazy? And this whole and all these topics are all connected. So, for example, so with Jana, the trust, how much trust do we have in people? And then Javi, you're with the commercials. right? Like how this whole drug propaganda. And now with this, there is a commercial. So I'm a weirdo. I actually love commercials. I love them. That was my favorite part sometimes during TV, watching TV as a kid. I would live and thrive off of the commercials. There's a commercial. I don't know if you guys ever seen it where, let me go back a little bit. We're taught, right, as kids, what a bad person looks like. Mm-hmm. A bad person is going to be full of tattoos, is going to have like the punk rocker hairdo, is going to look scary. So there's a commercial where there's a lady and a daughter walking hand in hand. Do you know what commercial I'm talking about, Javi? Okay. And as they're walking through the street, they show like a gangbanger staring at them and they walk a little faster. And then they show a motorcycle person, you know, leather and tattoos and bandana, and they start walking faster. Then they show, you know, all these like types of people that we're supposed to be scared of. And then at the end, it turns out it's the woman that abducted the little girl. And it's like a whole mind, like,
like, oh, shit.
This little girl had trust in a normal looking person. While this whole time, her parent is probably, you stay away from that person. And look, see that gangbanger, stay away from them. Like, so in that whole sense, it's like mind blowing to me. And that's why I love commercials, because I feel like we have to teach our children, you just can't, you have to. And how hard is that? Like, that lady looks fun and nice and gentle and kind, like, but don't trust her, mm-hmm. right? It's so insane, like, how do we monitor and barometer that? Like, it's crazy. Yeah. So what I tell Isaac, for example, if we go somewhere and I have to drag him with me, like, to my hair appointment, get my hair cut, whatever, and the chairs usually are by the door, right? Like in the entrance, I always say, so anyone grabs you, I don't care if it's a lady, man, child, teenager, you scream. I've always taught Isaac that. And the people around me are like, why are you teaching him that? And I'm like, why wouldn't I? Like, I don't know who's who. I don't know. A lady could be like, come here, like, and take him. Like, that shit really exists. So all, like, it all just ties in, you know? And it's insane how it is right now. Mm-hmm. And that's where my point is with the child trafficking, like that commercial stuck with me, that one.
Yeah. Have
you seen I remember that commercial you're talking about, because though those people start following that woman and the little girl, and then at some point the police show up because someone called the cops, and it's like, yeah, you started saying that. I was like, what commercial? But yes, I remember that commercial. Yep.
And this is a Carl's Jr. commercial?
It's a Wendy's
commercial. Oh, Wendy's.
I thought it was Jack in the Box. Could have been
Arby's, because they're sponsored this podcast.
Arby's. Gina, don't talk for the next 5 minutes. Arby's is... No. I want to find that commercial. That's an interesting take on it.
Yeah, it's a good one. Because, you know, society teaches you stay away from all these bad people, but...
Mm-hmm.
I like that you say it's a good one. Like when I'm like, hey, have you seen the show Psych? Oh, you should check it out. It's a good one. And you're like, have you seen this commercial about like child trafficking? It's a good one. Check
it's
it
a good
out.
One. Like, it's a good. I'm just judging it artistically.
I love commercials. Like, I really do. And everyone says you're psycho, and I'm like, I'm not. I think I like the marketing aspect and the message behind it. Mm-hmm. So certain commercials have stuck with me, and that's one of
the commercials are good, though. I will never forget
that. Yeah, some of them are good. What sucks is, though, at least for me, I can't tell if it's going to be a stupid commercial or if it's going to be well done and like clever until you finish it and you're like, oh, fuck, well, I wasted 30 seconds, or, oh, cool, that was a funny commercial, or whatever it may be. I like the like through line you pulled through this, Jessica. The next thing is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. No, that's nothing to do with anything.
Oh, I was like, I'm stoked to see that movie. It looks good.
It's about trafficking and meth. That's how the turtles get so wild. I know it's late, and so, but real quick, do y'all see Mitch McConnell this is the last thing, and then we can go on our merry way. Did you all see Mitch McConnell was, I don't know, addressing the press about Turtles and the movie, and he froze for 20 seconds. They're like, "Hey, Mitch, what's going on, buddy?" And they had to take him off. They escorted him off, and he came back a few minutes later, right?
I think he had a mini stroke or something up there.
That's what. He had an episode of some kind. Yeah, he
right.
Someone rebooted him.
Can I say something that's going to sound a little harsh or a little mean? I don't care.
I don't either. Yeah.
You know, it was something that as it was spreading on social media, I was like, I'm sorry to who does care, but this is such, like, there's so many layers to it that I'm like, this is such a bad person.
Yes, thank you.
I don't care. And I mean, like, don't get me wrong. If I didn't know who Mitch McConnell was and I happened to sit next to him, like, on a park bench, whatever. And I'm just thinking, like, oh, here's someone's grandfather. And he, like, stroked out. I would care more. But the fact that I'm like, wait, I'm sorry. You're someone who has so much power and such a platform in this country, far more than any one individual should, but also far more than someone who is so old.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And again, someone that I just disagree with so much that I think they're like the living embodiment of creamed corn, that when I hear this, all I can think of when I hear that this happened, all I can think of is like, okay, I mean, don't you think it's kind of ridiculous that we have, he's not the only one.
No, right?
Well, I'm just like, just Google, you know, U.S. politicians over the age of 80.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you right now, it's not one. And it's so ridiculous that I guess we, because, you know, I live here too, have allowed the most powerful people. And I'm saying something that's been said for I don't know how many years now. But I'm just like, do they really have to, sorry, but like, do they have to die out of office? And when they do, does that mean that the next oldest ones are going to just eventually die out of office? Like, I don't understand why this is the system that's in place.
Mm-hmm.
For Mitch, I was just like, I don't care. I'm personally like, like,
yeah,
I did see the clip and I was like, I watched a quick clip of it. It's not people have feelings, even though I'm not entirely sure Mitch McConnell does, but
melting candles have feelings. Yes.
Watching that clip and he just kind of stares out into space. All I thought was, so what's happening? Like, does he have a brain fart? And people are just standing there for a good solid 10, 15 seconds before they take him off. And I'm like, was anybody else concerned prior to this? Like, that 20-second time span, 20 seconds is a long time. It's a long time for you to just be standing there, and then eventually they move out. I am not going to lie. I may or may not have chuckled. That may or may not make me a bad person. But I just was like, why didn't you move him off sooner?
Like, was no one paying attention?
Yeah, was no one paying attention, especially with the fact that he's older than the Grand Canyon. Like... was like, does he not have an aide that watches for these types of things that, like, you malfunctioned? Like, we can always talk about Katy Perry and her weird, like, twitchy eye, but nobody can talk about how he straight up malfunctioned and you let him malfunction for that long. But also with Javi, like, it's like, I don't care. I chuckled a little, but like, yeah, no, you're super old. They're all really old. With old mindsets, and it's like, nah, man, you guys got to move on. Like,
and you would think at this point they would have like an on-site nurse or something, right? Because there's so many old, like, politicians. You're like, right? You guys gotta have someone. Like,
you have to have an aide. Like, someone has to be with you to make sure that you just don't, like, all out, like, something. Yeah. But, you know,
I thought it might be
too expensive.
I thought it was. I don't know if y'all have seen Kung Fu Panda when the tortoise dies and he sort of like glows and disappears. Like, that's what I was expecting to happen. It made me think of times where I'm with people and I wish, like, I can imagine the people behind them. And when Mitch stopped talking and they're like, nice, he's pausing for dramatic effect. All right. And you're just waiting. You're like, is he not gonna, what's up? What do we, should someone tap him? Kyle, tap him. Kyle, no, oh, let's wait a little longer.
Kyle, okay.
I think we should get, hey, Mitch, you all right? Like,
it's time to move on.
Like, with your friends, you're like, fuck, what do we, should someone say something? Like, it, I was anxious, but I also went, ha ha, like when I saw the video. And I felt bad for a second.
What a loser.
I felt bad for a second. And then I thought of like how terrible he's been in pushing policy and like blocking policies that would help other people. And I go, I don't feel bad, but I bring it up because, you know, it's been brought up of like putting an age limit on these politicians. Yes. And if y'all had a number in your head, I was reading an article because I think the next day, I think it's Dianne Feinstein. I think she's a person from California. She also had like a brain, not as bad as his, but she just made a brain fart. And she's very old, I think over 80. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like 60 is a good.
I was going to say 79, but.
70. Oh, wow. You're
well, what's
radical.
The new retirement age now? Like before it was 65.
Is it 107? 107.
I figured 65 is a good year because now you're past your 50s and you know, you get a little bit into your 60s. And it's like, oh, go live on a beach somewhere or, you know, go, I don't know, do whatever people that have way too much money do.
I think if you were alive during Jim Crow America, you probably shouldn't be allowed to be a politician.
That makes sense.
And I mean that both on the word on the bad side and the good side. Like if you were there and you're like, yeah, this is a great time in America, you can't be a politician right now. And if you were there and you were like, this is bad, we need change, that's fantastic. But I think you've just genuinely aged out.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are like, you guys don't understand. Bernie marched to protest slavery, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's fantastic. But then he needs to set up some sort of protege who is going to progress his mission more because Bernie, don't get me wrong, I felt the burn, you know, 8 years ago or whatever it was. But I'm just like, even me, I'm like, dude, how long ago was that?
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, you need someone else to push forward your mission. Thank you for opening that door. You walk so we can run, like all the little cheesy things. But dude, I can't be voting for a 106-year-old president just because I like him more than the other 104-year-old president. You know, like, come on, guys. What the hell's going on here?
Jessica, do you?
There's just a reason why there's no cutoff age limit. Like, they want to be there forever.
And absolutely.
Can you imagine if there was a cutoff age? How much... I feel like we would just be so much more advanced in everything, like from, you know, laws, politics, everything. And that's why it's for a reason they're in there so long. And it's unfortunate, but I do agree there has to be some sort of, you know, I mean, if someone having a stroke on stage, I think that's pretty serious.
Right.
And they need to consider health and... the age that these, you know, politicians are in office. Like, it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah. And the fact that they brought him back out a few minutes later instead of taking him to Bowser's castle to turn into dry bones,
him. That was the new Mitch McConnell.
Oh, that was the new one.
Oh, yeah.
I just rebooted like a newer model.
Got it. Okay. Well, fuck. Yeah. I read this article that said if 60 was the cutoff, I think like half of Congress and the Senate would be gone. If 70 was the cutoff, it'd be a third. And like, of course, we're sitting here like they should get out, but like they're the ones in power. So of course they're not going to change anything unless like we almost unanimously as a people petition, or I don't know how it works. I didn't pay attention in that specific class, but they'll never take themselves out.
Never.
So like why would they? Right. And so that was something that popped in my head. I've always thought that there should be an age limit. Yeah.
Yeah, I think if your name is on the ballot, next to it in parentheses, it should say like octogenarian. And that would let you know, like, hey, by the way, you're voting for an 80-year-old. You know that, right? Like, you're voting for an 80-year-old. The person you're voting for is 80 years old, like 80. I have, I'm going to make a blanketed statement. I have a problem with old people, just in general. And I catch a lot of grief for it. And here's my thing. No one can convince me that I'm not allowed to be mad at old people. Because always the argument that I get for like, Javi, you're being mean, is I'm like, why? Why does it mean that like this person shouldn't be driving? Like they shouldn't be. And then people are like, because you know that that's going to be you someday, right? You know that you're going to get old. And I'm like, exactly. We all are, barring that you, something doesn't happen to you before you're old. But I'm just saying, since we're all headed there, it's fair. It's one of the few things in life that is actually fair. And as such, like some of these things need to change where I'm just like, you know, I can say pretty confidently and hopefully I stay true to my word. When I am an octogenarian, I believe I will move myself out of the way of people that I'm in the way of, whether that means in the way of them at the mall or whether that means in the way of them as a leader of this nation. I will move myself to be out of the way because I think that the older people are a burden. Like I do. That's why we have convalescent homes, because we can't take care of them. We need to take them to centers that are specifically designed to take care of them. I'm not saying we don't love them. I'm not saying we shouldn't take care of them. I'm saying that we do have to take care of them the way we take care of children. And that is an additional burden. So the fact that Mitch McConnell is on stage and blanking for 20 seconds, I don't know about you guys. If my dad and I were talking and he stopped talking for like 7 seconds, I'd be like, yo, are you okay? Do you need water? Do you need to sit down? So the fact that this vampiric Mitch McConnell froze for however long it was, I'm just like, okay, so he doesn't seem fit. And I also think that no one really cares enough, because if they did, they would have done something sooner. Put him on an old person island. You know that show, what was it, Love Island or whatever? Okay. Do like an old person island.
Like, where they all have sex with each other?
Probably. That's what Fun City is.
Yeah. Can you apologize to vampires right now?
For the vampires.
Apologies to turtles and what other things we've said. Okay. Thank you all for doing this. This was way longer, but I'm excited. I appreciate y'all staying on and talking.
Okay,
have a good rest of your weekend. Michael. Yeah.
Thank you, Arby's.
Thank you, Arby's. Jaina, can we get a thank you, Arby's, real quick? Bye.
That's not going to happen.
No. How about Penelope? Have a good.
No.
No. Dang it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Have a good weekend, y'all.
Time for Tubby Bye-Bye.
No.
Time for Tubby Bye-Bye.
No, absolutely not.
Worst part was seeing a lost baby. Best part was rescuing said baby.
Wow. This is like Sound of Freedom.